Welcome, everyone, to Family Talk. It's a ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute, supported by listeners just like you. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and I'm thrilled that you've joined us.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Family Talk, the broadcast division of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, and today we present you with the insightful second half of a two-part interview on the topic of miscarriage and grief. Dr. Dobson sat down with two couples who have both experienced the enormous pain and incalculable loss of miscarriage, Dr. Walt Larimore and his wife Barbara, along with Russ and June Gordon. Between them, these two married couples have lost six preborn babies to miscarriage. I think that we all have known someone who's gone through this. It's more common than you might think. As a matter of fact, 10 to 15% of known pregnancies end in miscarriage each and every year. You'll want to join us now for an important roundtable conversation on this topic, unflinching in its honesty, with hearts laid bare by the couples who were willing to share their experiences and the hope that they found, led by our own Dr. James Dobson. Now, during the second half of his conversation with the Larimores and the Gordons, Dr. Dobson examined some of the emotions that women in particular and parents on the whole often feel when they experience a miscarriage. There can be guilt and self-blame, as well as hopelessness and depression. Dr. Dobson begins today's broadcast by addressing June Gordon. Let's go there now.
June, I hope it is not inappropriate for me to ask you this question, but I think it's all right. You had an abortion, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Relate the emotion of that experience with the later loss of a child through miscarriage.
Well, because of the broadcast, of course, all this has come back, you know, in floods, and that was 25 years ago. And I really thought I had worked through everything, but I was 19. Abortion had just been legalized. I would never have considered myself a promiscuous person. I found myself in a situation I shouldn't have been in and made all the wrong choices. But in order to not bring any more disappointment to my mother had died when I was four, so it was just my dad and I. And I did tell him, you know, what had happened. But not being a believer, he thought abortion was really the best answer to protect me. And I didn't want to do that, but I didn't know what else to do. So, and I remember going through the phone book, and there were no crisis pregnancy centers that I recall. It was really just Planned Parenthood and those kinds of places, women's centers or whatever. So when I went through and made the choices that I did, my first thought coming out of that, I remember screaming, my baby, and just crying. Because even though I didn't understand what really happened, I mean, I knew, but I didn't know. But deep down within my soul, I knew that I had taken a life. And so years later now, we move ahead 12 years. I've come to the Lord. I've worked through the forgiveness. You know, I know God had ministered to me his healing and all of that. You were doing a broadcast on the whole abortion, post-abortion. Mm-hmm. I can never remember how post-abortion stress syndrome.
Yeah.
And I remember all this stuff coming back up, and I didn't understand what I was feeling. I knew I had dealt with the, you know, guilt and forgiveness and all those issues. But one night I was driving home from work, and God just, I mean, it's as if I could hear him speaking, you never grieved the loss of this baby. I had to be strong. I had to get through it. Yeah. But I had never grieved. So between the 20-minute drive from work to home, I grieved, and it was done. And I remember a couple days later listening again to the broadcast, and you talked about it's about 8 years when a woman starts to go through that syndrome. And I started counting up, and I thought, that's been 8 years. And so I had to go through this new understanding and work through that again. So then I got pregnant with our first baby, and we were so excited. We had a big dinner and at a restaurant, and they announced that we were pregnant. It was a music hall, Tibby's Music Hall. And you know, our parents were there and friends were there, and we got up on stage and we announced this big thing. And a couple weeks later, I'm on bed rest, and 2 weeks later, I lose the baby. And And my first thought was, of course, guilt, you know. And I think if there's a message that I want to give, and I'm so willing to share this part of my life, but I know that there's so many women, Christians and non-Christians, who, or had an abortion as a Christian or a non-Christian, who are sitting in guilt and condemnation and secrecy, and they haven't told anybody.
Yeah.
And my heart breaks for them.
There may be tens of thousands right now who are listening to us who are right where you were.
Yes.
I mean, we know 40 million babies have been lost since 1973. And many of those women have never dealt with it. They've never grieved. They've never asked for forgiveness. They've just shoved it down. And yet there is forgiveness.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Does God forgive you?
Absolutely. I am so grateful for the loving God that we have, that, you know, it just takes recognizing our sin, calling it what it is. You know, there's nothing in me that can say anything but that it was sin. But that God, in his grace and his sovereignty and his love and his mercy, has forgiven me.
And it's remembered against you more.
That's
as
right.
far as the east is from the west.
Right.
What an incredible gift.
And you know what's really awesome is that I will see that baby in heaven.
Yeah.
And the most beautiful picture that God gave me was shortly after I became a Christian. God gave me a picture in my mind of Jesus holding a little lamb. And that lamb literally transformed into a little baby. And I knew that was my baby. And when I had our first miscarriage, that came back again. And I saw a little toddler holding Jesus' hand, and he was carrying a baby. And then I had my second miscarriage. And there was actually, that child then would have been about 12, so he kind of went from toddler to big all of a sudden in my mind. But now this older child was holding the hand of a toddler, holding the hand of Jesus, holding my other baby. And I thought, you know, how gracious God is to give me that hope that I don't have to feel guilty. What I did was wrong. And my heart breaks for women who feel like they have to make that kind of decision, whatever the reasons are. But God is forgiving, and I'm going to see my baby again.
Three of them.
Three of them. We have seven children.
Isn't that
I just can't believe it.
June, as I listen to you speaking, I'm impressed that you're rare. And here's what I mean. Dr. Dobson, the first thing that happens in virtually all women's hearts when they have a miscarriage is they start asking, what did I do?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did I drink the wrong thing, eat the wrong thing, say the wrong thing? And if you've had an abortion before, June, what do you think?
It's absolutely because of that.
It's because God is punishing me.
Yes.
And you overcame that.
Yes.
But many, many women haven't. And our enemy, the enemy of our souls, is using that to keep families suppressed from what they can be. Because they may believe in their head, but they haven't yet believed in their heart what you've found, and that is that God loves us so much.
Walt, a hallmark of your character and personality is your compassion. Pray a prayer right now for those women that are out there that have never found forgiveness. Maybe God has forgiven them, but they can't forgive themselves for an early abortion. And there are a lot of women out there right now that need your compassionate prayer. Would you pray it?
Let's do. Father, thank you so much that you allow us to approach you boldly. Thank you for your love for us. That if we're just willing to admit where we've gone wrong, where we've left your will, you are so willing to forgive us. And not only that, your scripture says that you will separate that sin as far from us as east is from west, that we will be white as snow and scarlet no more in your eyes. Father, for our listeners, our female listeners who have made the choice to have an abortion in the past and who are living with that burden and that stress, and Father, for the men in our audience who have pushed a woman to make this decision, could they at this minute just admit to you that they were wrong and almost as if blowing out carbon dioxide, confess and rid themselves of that burden? And then breathe in, Father, just even now as we're praying, breathe in the freshness of your Holy Spirit, the forgiveness that you give them freely as a free gift to cover their sin. Help them see themselves, Father, as you see them, pure and spotless, covered with the sacrifice of your Son. And Father, begin today to use them, because of this confession, to use them and bless them in helping others come to know you. So Father God, I thank you for what you're doing all across the world as a result of this prayer and this program. In Jesus' name.
Amen. It's a beautiful prayer. For the women who are listening to us who have struggled with guilt and with this memory of an abortion so long ago, you need carry it no more. You can let go of it. You don't have to go through life with that burden on your back. You can let it go, but only through God's forgiveness.
You're listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. We are in the middle of Dr. Dobson's conversation with two couples, Walt and Barbara Larimore and Russ and June Gordon, focusing on the delicate topic of miscarriage. For a tragedy that occurs so frequently, miscarriage is rarely discussed, and yet it causes extraordinary grief and pain for both parents. On today's program, Dr. Dobson and his guests are discussing the grief associated with miscarriage, giving advice for the healing process, and how to honor the life of the child that was lost. Let's continue that conversation right now.
Barb, did you at any point blame yourself for one reason or another?
Oh, I did. I think it was after the third one. I just wondered what I had done wrong, what I hadn't eaten, how I hadn't exercised, where had my body failed me. I did not have the understanding that I have today, that I had a defect in my uterus that would not allow the fertilized egg and sperm to implant and then to grow. And so, yes, I did do a lot of blaming of myself.
How'd you deal with that?
Oh, not very well at all. I was angry. I lashed out. I wanted to stay in bed all the time. I was unable to concentrate. I was not directed. And I was, last but not least, just very, very angry at God for doing this to me.
Well, did you understand that?
I experienced it. Russ, I think it's common for us guys to experience it, and most of us hide it. Some of us make the mistake of blaming our wife, of asking her, well, what did you do to cause this, not realizing that the vast majority of miscarriages are not caused by anything that we said or did. I remember the first time we were in a grocery store, and coming down the aisle was a mom with a little baby. And to see, Barb, the anger in your eyes, and you turned and you went the other way. Mm-hmm. You weren't able to enjoy other couples having children and to be there with you.
Mm-hmm. When Shirley was pregnant with Danae, we spent probably 6 months getting ready for her arrival. Mm-hmm. You know, we had everything that we could prepare. We had the crib. We had the nursery that was decorated. Shirley and I hung the wallpaper ourselves. We had mobiles. We had everything. What do you do with all of that when you suddenly don't have a purpose for it?
Well, I was so gun-shy that I never had a nursery set up. I would walk into the room where I knew the baby would be, and I would visualize where I would put the crib and where the changing table would be, and but I never physically could bring myself to set up a nursery at all.
Even with the first miscarriage?
The first miscarriage was early on at about 8 weeks.
I see.
But the ones after that, miscarriages 2, 3, and 4, were anywhere from 12 to 16 weeks.
You and couldn't allow yourself to
I
hope,
would not
you?
Allow myself to even hope.
I would really like to go back to my book, When God Doesn't Make Sense, and say to those who are out there, don't try to answer that question.
You can't.
If God wanted you to answer it, he would have given you more information than he's given you. It's not your responsibility to make the pieces fit. And all through life, there will be situations where it makes no sense to you. You can't somehow get it all explained, and so then you've got it in a little neat package. You can't do that, and yet we try to force it. Mm-hmm. And furthermore, our Christian friends try to force it, and they say, your baby died because God wanted this little baby in his garden. Oh, baloney. That's horrible to say something like that, that the compassionate God of the universe would reach down and take your baby away because he wanted it in his garden. That's crazy. And yet we say foolish things to each other and we accuse each other of sin and we do all kinds of things at the very moment when you most need somebody to say, God loves you, he cares, he's there. Just accept it. Go with it. And someday you will understand.
And that he weeps with you.
He weeps with
you. You know, his heart is broken for you. And when you're crying and you're sad and you're anxious, you know, you're missing your baby, he feels that with you. He wants to comfort us.
June, were you angry at God?
I don't remember being angry. I remember being confused. I think the one part of my faith that has been strong is that I believe God's word is true or I don't. And so I can question it because that's a normal thing. But I have got to choose to trust God no matter what, whether I understand it or I don't. And so when I went through all of that, I remember being very confused. I remember being very afraid that I had done something, that it was because of the sin of my past or whatever. But mostly I felt, I felt victory. I remember being on bed rest for a couple of weeks and people calling me. And I said, you know, I remember crying. I remember being fearful. But I remember I would always say, but I feel victorious.
The Christian way of life can give that. Mm-hmm. In the midst of the greatest sorrow of your entire life, there is a peace that's there. It passes
all
understanding.
And our faith definitely grew from the time of the first miscarriage to the time of the second miscarriage, which probably explains why it was somewhat easier for us to deal with. We grew to trust God after watching this little baby born so early, struggling for life. And the outcome was incredible, that this kid came home and he was thriving and all the things they said would happen to him didn't happen. God took care of those things. And so when the miscarriage happened, although it was difficult, we knew that God had demonstrated his faithfulness. Mm. So it made it easier. It did. There was no question about it. Mm.
Don't try to handle this yourself. You weren't made to handle it yourself. God made us to minister to each other. And Jim, you point that out in your book, When God Doesn't Make Sense, that God gave us to each other to pray for each other, to comfort each other, and to minister to each other. So for our listeners, men and women, don't try to carry this sack by yourself.
Yes. And I'm just reminded of Romans 12:15, and I think this is the call of the Christian church, and that is rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Mm-hmm. I think if we could just do that as a church, we would bring so much healing to these folks who have lost these babies. It would just be amazing what we'd
see. Let me share three other verses that have meant a lot to me in my dealing with people, and these verses should be written down. If you're going to be trying to help people going through any kind of difficulty, you ought to remember these. My favorite is from Psalms 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Man, what a compassionate Lord we serve.
Yes.
And Psalms 35:5b, weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. And then Hebrews 13:5, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. You pointed that one. That's
definitely one of our favorites. We have a few, too.
Walter, you and Barb have a favorite, too. You had mentioned it before. What is it?
My favorite is from Isaiah, and it's Isaiah 40:11. And it says, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Mm. And that was especially meaningful to me because after that fourth miscarriage, he did take me into his arms and he carried me close to his heart for a number of months because that last miscarriage was just devastating.
Mm. June, you have some scriptures.
Yes, the one that has been really meaningful to us, especially since we've started this ministry, is out of Matthew. It's Matthew 18:10. "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually behold the face of my Father who is in heaven." Mm. And so I just see these angels holding these precious babies, and God is looking lovingly into their eyes. He's loving them. He's beholding them. He's comforting them. And I think one of the things that comes to my mind the most when I think of people who are hurting in this area is that God didn't turn and sneeze and forget you and your baby. Mm-hmm. You know, He does have a plan and a purpose, and we don't always understand what that is. But He loves us, and He cares.
Mm-hmm. You just think of those three little children that are waiting for you.
I can't wait.
A phrase that I've used before, and it's not original to me, but I think it's a beautiful phrase. There was a time, June and Barb, when you had hope to introduce your children to mm-hmm. Jesus.
Yes.
But now your children will introduce Jesus to you. Isn't that a beautiful thing?
Yes, it is.
Well, I appreciate you all sharing such an emotional topic like this in such a transparent way. And I trust that the Lord will continue to draw near to you and allow you to minister to those who are still hurting. We love you all and appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Dr.
Thank you,
Dr.
Thanks, Jim.
I'm Roger Marsh, and you've just heard the conclusion of Dr. Dobson's candid, emotional conversation with Walt and Barbara Larimore and Russ and June Gordon today here on Family Talk. We hope you found encouragement in the stories and scriptures that our guests and Dr. Dobson shared on today's program. Hundreds of thousands of women experience miscarriages every year, and the grief is undeniable. If you are currently going through a difficult time right now, may I suggest you pick up a copy of Dr. Dobson's book called When God Doesn't Make Sense? In it, he offers assurance of God's constant care, even when human suffering seems to be beyond our comprehension. I think you'll find this tangible advice and compassionate words to be a comfort to you. Now, for more information about that book, visit us online at drjamesdobson.org. In fact, if you'd like to hear any part of the broadcast you might have missed today, or if you'd like to hear yesterday's edition of the program, you can also go to our broadcast page as well at drjamesdobson.org/broadcast. And while you're online with us, remember you can also order a CD copy of this two-part broadcast as well. Of course, you're welcome to call us anytime. We're here to answer questions you might have about the James Dobson Family Institute, or to recommend a resource for you, or simply to pray with you. Our toll-free number is 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825. Remember, you can also reach us by mail, and we'd love to hear from you, especially when you drop us a note anytime. Mail, by the way, is a very safe and secure way to make a tax-deductible donation in support of Family Talk as well, so make sure you have our ministry mailing address on hand. That's the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, P.O. Box 39000, Colorado Springs, Colorado, the zip code 80949. Again, our ministry mailing address is the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, P.O. Box 39000, Colorado Springs, Colorado, the zip code 80949. And finally, one last thing before we go. Remember, we've created a special series for moms. I mean, raising kids, maintaining a healthy marriage, finding some sort of balance through it all. A mom's work truly never ends. Running a home, earning a paycheck, providing for your family. Now, even though we can't give you superpowers or create more hours in the day, we can offer some time-tested truths and encouragement to help you be the best mom you can be. That's why we're inviting you right now to sign up for the Empowering Moms series. Each and every day, you'll receive practical parenting advice packed with timeless scriptural truths and a prayer to renew and inspire you. Now, it's easy to sign up. Just go to drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org. From Dr. and Mrs. Dobson and all of us here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, I'm Roger Marsh. Thank you for listening, and join us again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tim Clinton for the James Dobson Family Institute. Are you leaving a lasting and godly legacy? When you think about your family after you're gone, are you worried about them? Or are you confident they'll hold on to what you've taught them? At the Dobson Family Institute, we're committed to helping you understand the importance of passing on your faith, not only to your children, but to your children's children too. Check out drjamesdobson.org today for helpful hints, tips, and advice to help make this happen. Remember this, your legacy matters. Don't waste it.
Hello, everyone. Do you need help dealing with the everyday tasks of raising a family? I'm James Dobson here, and if you do, I hope you'll tune in to our next edition of Family Talk. Our main purpose in this ministry is to put tools into your hands that will strengthen your marriage and help you raise your kids. Hope to see you right here next time for another edition of Family Talk.